Before we get into what happened this year, let's look ahead to the holiday season. Getting colder out there, flu season, obviously we're seeing these respiratory illnesses. Talk to me about the importance of getting your vaccine for folks out there, whether it's a flu shot or a COVID booster or whatever it is. How important is it to get these shots during the holiday season?
You know, a vaccine is like a cheat sheet for your body to know how to beat the virus without having to really learn it the hard way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I got my flu and COVID shots about 4 weeks ago, one in each arm, did them both on the same day. You know, I'll be honest, it knocked me out for about a half a day on Saturday, which is why I did it Friday afternoon, just because that's your body knowing that it's working, your immune system responding. But it is our best protection. And look, you know, over time, when you don't get sick, your body kind of, those cells in your body that remember how to beat the virus wane, they kind of disappear, which is why you got to kind of get that booster every year and why we're in this pattern of having it once a year.
What do you say to people who might be listening and say, okay, well, I got the COVID shots when they came out back in 2020. I've had the boosters and now I feel like I'm equipped to handle COVID if I were to get COVID. What do you say to those people who are hesitant to get the booster shot?
You know, I want people to be informed about the risks. Mm-hmm. You know, we still have people that end up in the hospital severely ill from COVID or they end up worse. And so this is why you have to think about your own personal risk. Are you older? Are you around folks that are older? Are you immunocompromised? Do you have other chronic illnesses that would be intensified by this? And you have to make your choice. You know, but what I can tell you is that the vaccines are very safe. They're highly effective. And you know what? I would rather spend the holidays with my family and traveling and not have to worry about getting COVID or flu.
Let's look back now at the calendar year of 2024. A lot of work that you and your colleagues at Health and Human Services did. You talk about Medicaid expansion, the medical debt program, investments into behavioral health. Can you kind of just look back and recap the year that was in your office?
Sure. This year has been a phenomenal year. And maybe before some of the successes, I want to note that we're still all working very hard on the recovery to Hurricane Helene. I want to thank WPTF for their work on our PSAs and getting the word out about, you know, how we continue to make a difference in the West. That's going to be a long journey, and we're committed, and I know the incoming administration will stay committed. Look, as of this month, we have 594,000 people enrolled in Medicaid expansion. Those are 594,000 people that enter the holiday season with the peace of mind that they're able to go to the doctor and they're able to get the prescriptions filled and they don't have to worry about it. That's such a life-changing opportunity for them. We also made nearly $1 billion worth of investments in behavioral health. So that way, when folks are in some of their darkest crises, they have a place to call, a place to go, someone to talk to. And we've worked hard to relieve medical debt to make a difference. We know medical debt is something that is really never paid, never collected, and yet it holds people back and it keeps them sick. And so we came up with a way to do that. I'm particularly grateful for Governor Cooper's leadership. I'm thankful that the department has had such a wonderful relationship with the General Assembly to craft many of these efforts and get them done.
I think that's a good point because we've heard a lot about the consternation now between the General Assembly and other branches. Can you just speak to that and just the work that everybody has done, this bipartisan effort to get these things accomplished for the people of North Carolina?
You know, our folks in the General Assembly have constituents, and we have those same constituents at the department, and that's how we approach the work. I'm really grateful for our leaders in the health committees, specifically who I work closely with, and we don't always agree on things, but we are committed to figuring out ways forward on our biggest investments for folks, especially around Medicaid and mental health. These have been big priorities for us.
With mental health specifically, are there programs that you want to highlight that we're really invested in this year that are paying dividends for people in our state?
I mean, first and foremost, we have launched 988 to great success. That was a couple of years ago, but we've continued to double down on that. We rolled out a peer warm line, which is a place that folks can call if they just want to talk to someone with lived experience. Maybe you're struggling with a serious mental health issue and you want to talk to someone who's been in that spot before. We're having about 7,000 callers a month.
Wow.
To that line. So talk about a need that we know was there. But now we've got one of the efforts that I'm most proud of that's unfolded over the last few years is our Children's Behavioral Health Hospital being operated by UNC that's in Butner, North Carolina. This facility was an underutilized drug and alcohol treatment center We were able to turn that thing around in 11 months, open the doors, and now we have dozens upon dozens of children with the most complex behavioral health needs, co-occurring developmental disabilities that would really have nowhere else to go but to be stuck in an emergency department in loving wraparound care with music therapy and all kinds of other stuff. And I'm really grateful to our partners at UNC and, again, the General Assembly who made that possible.
You mentioned Western North Carolina. You said you're committed to the ongoing recovery effort there. What remains the biggest need, and how can our listeners help our friends in Western North Carolina?
Well, without question, housing is going to be a real challenge. To have the housing stock that was already in short supply in many of our communities in Western North Carolina get negatively impacted, we know that's going to be a long road, and that's an area that always requires a great deal of partnership with, obviously, builders and developers and a lot of other things. But the dance here is making sure that you can get those places reestablished at the same time that you're reinvesting in the economy to make sure that folks can stable. You know, a lot of these small towns, these small businesses that, you know, lost significant portions of their businesses, you know, employees there don't have a way to work and earn an income in the meantime. We can't just have them wait. And so we've got to continue to support that. I'm really hopeful that we'll see action from the federal government. Mm-hmm. We're going to need billions of dollars in relief, and we've got to have them step up to do it.
A couple thoughts as I'll let you go. You mentioned the new administration coming in. Would you like to stay in your current role as the Secretary of Health and Human Services with the Stein administration?
I'm committed to finishing strong, and I'm committed to making sure that our organization is stewarded well. So whatever Governor-elect Stein needs me to do, I'm committed to doing to help.
As we look ahead to the holidays, favorite holiday tradition that you have in your family, what is it?
Oh my gosh. My family is built around food. So, most of our stuff. I will say for Thanksgiving, we did a turkey shoot that was really fun. And I'm happily share with everybody that I did get the bullseye several times. And so I'm very good with the gun. But nevertheless, that is a newer tradition that I'm quite proud of. But we had a good time.